Welcome to Through the Bible with Pastor Michael, a podcast from First Baptist Church in Mustang, Oklahoma. Here's Pastor Michael.
Let's look today at Matthew 14, 15, and 16. Five observations. Number one, John the Baptist is beheaded for calling out the sin of Herod and Herodias. We see that detailed in the opening verses of chapter 14. A second observation is that Jesus feeds the multitudes and then walks on the water. And so you see this miracle where Jesus feeds the 5,000 men plus women and children. As we looked at back when we were going through the book of Mark, this is the only miracle that Jesus performed that's recorded in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All four of them record and report on this miracle where Jesus feeds the 5,000 men plus the women and children. And after he does that, it tells us that he walked on the water. And we get that very important exchange between Jesus and Peter at that time. A third observation is that Jesus rebukes the scribes and the Pharisees. Chapter 15. He says, "Why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition?" Verse 6, "For the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God." Verse 8, quoting from Isaiah now, he applies it toward the scribes and Pharisees. "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." A strong rebuke from Jesus to the scribes and the Pharisees. The fourth observation, Peter confesses Jesus as the Christ. A very important part of Scripture in chapter 16 when Jesus asks his followers, "Who do people say that I am?" In verse 14 of chapter 16, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, some say Jeremiah, some say one of the other prophets." And then Jesus asked this very piercing but essential question, "Who do you say that I am?" And here Peter answers by saying, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then we get this great statement from Jesus in verse 18, "I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." What a wonderful promise. And then a fifth observation, Jesus speaks of his coming death and resurrection. It says in verse 21 of chapter 16, "From that time Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised." So Jesus is speaking clearly and openly, plainly to his disciples here about his mission and about his work of our redemption. Five applications from our text today. Number one, faithfulness does not guarantee an easy life on this earth. I think sometimes we have this idea that if we're faithful and we do the right thing and we strive to honor the Lord, that everything in an earthly sense is going to work out well for us. That's not true. We know that from John the Baptist. John the Baptist spoke out against the sin of Herod. He spoke plainly. He spoke boldly. And as proud men do, Herod did not take well to that. He has John the Baptist put in prison. And then after this birthday party, when he promises to do whatever he's asked, the end result of that is that John the Baptist is beheaded. Now, why was John the Baptist in jail? Because he spoke the truth. He called sin, sin. Why was John the Baptist beheaded? Because unfaithful people love to revel in their sin and debauchery. And the result of that was a very gruesome death for John the Baptist. So if you're looking at his life from a worldly lens, you would say, well, why would you be faithful then? Why speak the truth? Why deal with righteousness if that's how it ends for people who do it? And the answer is because our accounts are not settled here. Our accounts are settled in heaven. There are those who seem to get by with their sin and disobedience here. The Lord will have the final word. There are those who seem to be faithful and just suffer trial after trial here, but even with their eternal reward, the Lord will have the final word as he blesses them for all eternity. So faithfulness does not guarantee an easy life on this earth. So don't think that if you obey the Lord, you're going to always make the A. You're going to always get the job. You're going to always get the clean health scan. Sometimes our faithfulness on this earth is exemplified through the trials that we face. In the end, our worst days on this earth, by comparison of heaven, will be light and momentary, 2 Corinthians says. But just don't think that your faithfulness here is going to guarantee an easy life. That's not the case. Number two, even our doubts should drive us to Jesus and drive us to worship. Jesus walks on the water. It's a frightening thing. We can understand why they're frightened. Jesus says, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Then he says, "You have little faith. Why did you doubt?" But even in their weakness, even in their doubt, it still was an invitation for them to hear the Lord and believe the Lord. And it says in verse 33, those in the boat worshiped him. So even in your doubts, take your doubts to God. Even in your moments of weakness, take that to the Lord in prayer. Seek his word for truth. And even through your doubts, even through your struggles, even through your weakness, worship the Lord. Trust the Lord. Express your need for the Lord. They had this amazing moment where Jesus feeds the thousands of people. Everybody ate and they were satisfied. Right on the heels of that, they have this frightening moment of Jesus walking on the water where their faith is weak. The result of it all is they in the boat worshiped him. So whether it is a moment of great victory or even a moment of weakness, let that drive you to Jesus and his word, and let it lead you to worship him. Third application, worship apart from sincere trust in the Lord is vain. These are the words that Jesus uses in chapter 15, verses 8 and 9. In vain do they worship me. Why? Because their heart is far from me. So worship apart from sincere faith is useless. It's worthless. It's in vain. James speaks of this at the end of chapter 1. Jesus speaks of it here in Matthew 15. Jesus is quoting here from the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. So this has always been true all throughout Scripture, that worship that is true, that is pleasing to God, comes from a heart of sincere faith and trust in him. Worship that is just external or just ceremonial or just for show is vain and useless. A fourth application, the church will be triumphant because Christ is triumphant. This is important for us to understand, that when Jesus says that the gates of hell shall not prevail, the schemes of hell will not win, the defenses of hell will not win, the attacks of hell will not win. This is Christ's church. And because Christ is the head of the church will be triumphant. You are a part of an entity, of a family that absolutely will triumph. Now, at any one snapshot in time, may it look otherwise? Absolutely. There are moments in time where the faithful are martyred, where the faithful are reviled. There are times where it seems like people are a part of the church, 1 John 2, and they go out from us because they were never of us. And in that moment, it seems like the church has failed, the church is falling. But here's the hope for today, that the church will be absolutely triumphant because Christ is triumphant. Our guarantee of success is because of Christ's inability to lose. His inability to fail. So we rest not on our schemes, on our plans, not on our strategies. Our hope, our comfort, our guarantee of success is that Christ will triumph. And because He will, we can rest assured in Him. And then a fifth application, gaining all of this world, even if that were possible, and not having Christ gains a person nothing. If you could gain all the world has to offer, if that were even possible, if you could have all the wealth, all the money, all the power, all the land, all the prestige, if you could have everything this world has to offer, and you did not have Christ, you would have nothing. Chapter 16, verse 26, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? And then finally, a summary from Psalm 64, taking from the last verse here, take refuge in the Lord. Whatever you're facing today, whatever your struggle, whatever your pain, whatever your sorrow, take refuge in the Lord. Whatever man may say to you, whatever people may say about you, whatever opposition you may face, here's what you do. You say, the Lord is my refuge. I will take Him at His word. I will run to Him. I will cling to His truth. And that may gain you prestige in some seasons, or that may cost you your head like it did John the Baptist. Either way, we take our refuge in the Lord. We entrust ourselves to the Lord with all things. All right, enjoy as you continue to read and study through the Gospel of Matthew today.